Is the goal of being a Christian to simply get people to say a prayer and then leave them? Or is it more than that? Is our mission more than that? If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open up to the answer to that question, which was just read a few minutes ago by Bill. We're going to read it again next week, but I want us to look at this once again. The last two verses of the Gospel of Matthew, which really summarize the whole book of Matthew, as well as Jesus' ministry. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. We'll read verses 18 to 20. Says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" I want us to memorize this, saturate in it, and live in it. It must be our call, and it must be our mission. Whether or not you are a Sunday school teacher, elder, youth leader, farmer, manager, administrator, retired, stay-at-home parent, the list goes on and on. Your mission is to go and make disciples if you are a disciple of Jesus. This is known as the Great Commission, co-mission, not a mission to do just by yourself, but a co-mission. Co meaning together, and mission meaning our purpose, what we are to do. Today, for the first little bit, I want us to take a look at this commission. I want us to understand it deeply, and through it, I want us to see through Scripture how sharing the gospel, which is both a sharing to already born-again Christians and to the lost, must be shared through our words and our actions. Today we'll focus on sharing through our words, and next week we'll look at sharing it through our actions. If you notice here in the Great Commission, Jesus, in some of his last words to his disciples, gives them and even to us our mission to make disciples of all nations, and not just common disciples. Because to be a disciple was a common thing in the ancient world. In the Great Commission, Jesus developed and continues to show a unique form of discipleship, a very unique form of discipleship, one that crosses barriers like genders, ethnicities, socioeconomic boundaries and barriers, and so on. Being a disciple of Jesus was different than being a disciple of the Pharisees, for example. See, the Pharisees demanded academic obedience. But being a disciple of Jesus wasn't simply academic, but rather it did and continues to encompass all of life, as he fills everything in every way, as we saw in Ephesians. Now, in order to make disciples of Jesus, as the church, we must tell people about Jesus, what he has done, what he continues to do, and what he will do when he returns. We must share and tell the gospel. This is what a missionary is. This is what a missionary does, a carrier and doer of the mission. Charles Spurgeon, the late theologian and pastor and preacher, he once shared this. It's a quote I've used before. It said, "If you are a Christian, you are either a missionary or an imposter. If you are a Christian, you are either a missionary or an imposter." See, local churches and Christians around the world sometimes have a very difficult time finding their purpose in life. Maybe you've wrestled with this before growing up. Some churches I have even heard spend months, years on a mission statement. The incredibly ironic thing is that God has given his church his mission. It's right there. The Great Commission throughout the years has been taken many ways. Some have seen it as simply doing social justice, looking at the world, your neighborhoods, your communities around you, and seeing the injustice and then going forth and helping. Some have taken the Great Commission as simply a command to evangelize, or in other words, to tell people about Jesus, make sure they say a prayer, and then leave them. While other churches have taken the Great Commission as perhaps just words, but not actually fulfilling it. The question for us this morning, for us here in Cremona this morning, is, if this is our mission, are we and how are we doing it? The definition of disciple that I want to use is one that I have created, and you can think about your own definition as well. But I would say the definition of a disciple is one who desires to worship, obey, and love Jesus with all they have, while also teaching others to do the same through what they say and what they do. The main question today that I want to ask and share about is, how and why do we share Jesus with our words? Our words. If you have your Bibles open, I want you to venture a little forward more into the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13 to 15. And we're going to see what Paul says about this. Romans 10, 13 to 15 says this. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And he continues on. He says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." I want us to take a look at this as we think about sharing the gospel, good news as it is literally called. Today, as you've heard and read, we're talking about sharing the gospel with our words. And if you go on Google, as many people do today, and search the words, "How do I share the gospel?" There are, at the time I did the search, 268 million results. Seems pretty helpful. 268 million results. I'm sure you could find something. Of course, some of them are helpful, some of them not so much. But St. Francis of Assisi is one of those people that comes up when you search this word. Because one of the more famous quotes on sharing the gospel is said to have come from him. Maybe you've heard this before. "To share the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've said it to someone before. "Share the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." St. Francis of Assisi was said to have said this. However, the interesting fact about this quote is that he never actually said this, according to records and history. In fact, nobody truly knows where it comes from. It's a quote that came from somewhere, but not Assisi. And in fact, Assisi was one who was known to use his voice as one of the primary means to share the gospel. Share the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This quote for many people, maybe a lot of us this morning, describe our gospel sharing technique, our method. But the question that comes out of this quote and out of Scripture, the question that Paul is talking about here in Romans, is simply, how will they believe if they do not hear? How will they believe if they do not hear? See, Jesus in his time here on earth both proclaimed and served. Jesus' mission was both proclamation and service. They went hand in hand. Webster Dictionary defines proclaim as to announce joyfully. Announce joyfully. Jesus proclaimed and has given us the mission to proclaim as well. As he says in Mark 16, 15, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." As the dictionary would say, we are to announce joyfully the gospel. Announce joyfully. People need to hear the gospel, not just through our actions, but also through our words. I want to make clear that we are not called to yell out the gospel or shove it down people's throats. No, we will be known by how we love. The question is, when our actions bring about questions, what will we say? How will we answer? Will we be the bearers of good news or simply the bearers of good things? Will we say, when someone asks, that we do what we do because we want to be good people? Will we say, we just want to be good people? Or will we say, will our answer to them be, I'm actually not a good person. I'm doing these things to point to the only good person who ever set foot on this earth, and his name is Jesus. Duane Lifton, president of Wheaton College, he said this in an online article. It's simply impossible to preach the gospel without words. The gospel is inherently verbal, and preaching the gospel is inherently verbal behavior. Perhaps a lot of questions are going through your minds right now. You might ask, what about the culture? What about the culture? Sure, the early church displayed the gospel through their words, because the people didn't even know of and haven't even heard of the gospel before. Today, why would we share through our words? Perhaps your friends know you are a Christian, and perhaps you know that they have all heard of the gospel before, at least in some way. In fact, it is probably a decent chance that if you're in Canada, that person has probably heard of Jesus in some way. But we have to ask, is that really an excuse to not share the gospel in our words, through our words? Is that a valid excuse? Kirk Cameron, he said this, if you had the cure to cancer, wouldn't you share it? You have the cure to death, get out there and share it. The reality is, if you are a Christian and are trying to live that out, the Holy Spirit will open up opportunities for you to share the gospel. Whether it's with your neighbor, whether it is with the woman you're in line with at the grocery store, or the man who is filling up his truck across from you at the gas station. We live with multiple opportunities to share the gospel through our words. So what is stopping us from sharing the gospel? Many of you took a part in the Flourishing Congregations National Survey that this church did this past year. And even if you didn't do it, I think this question will apply to many of you. One of the questions in the survey was, identify the biggest challenges in evangelism for you personally. I want to read two of those challenges that were answered by many of you. Number one, lack of confidence. Lack of confidence. Do you have a lack of confidence when it comes to sharing the gospel? Be honest with yourself. If so, I want to challenge all of us, including myself, in asking, how much more confidence do we need? Philippians 1:6, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Philippians 4:13, a verse that many of us know. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Hebrews 13:6. We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hudson Taylor, a famous missionary, he once said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. We should have incredible confidence that if we are to make disciples, Jesus will stay true to his word when he says, and surely I will be with you until the end of the age. Here's another challenge that many of you said for this question. And I think this one will resonate with many of you. Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Out of this fear of rejection, I think, comes other questions within us. They might go something like this. What will others think of me? What if they don't like me or my family? What if talking about Christ makes seeing my neighbors awkward? Why do we fear? What do we have to fear? Romans 8, 31 to 37 breaks through our fear by declaring this. Hear this. Paul says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." This is our call. This is our joy to tell the world, all the nations, about Jesus, the one who died for us, intercedes for us, and rose, so that all who put their faith in Jesus and turn from their sins will not only receive eternal life, but will receive the greatest joy, eternal joy in the presence of God now and forevermore. If the gospel is indeed the greatest news the world has ever and will ever receive, it must not only be shared with our actions, but also through our words. Don't just share the gospel with the lost. Share it with your fellow Christians who are continually in need of it. It is the power of God and the message to a lost world. One other verse I want to share, 1 Peter 3:15 to 16, says this. "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." To share the gospel, you must both proclaim and serve. Give an answer for your actions. In your sermon notes, if you've been following along, at the end of those sermon notes, I have a spot for you to actually write down the gospel in your words. There are some resources there to help you, and I strongly encourage you to do this as not just a one-time practice, but as a continual practice to remind you of the hope, love, and assurance we have of the gospel. That we have sinned against the holy, sovereign God, but God, being rich in mercy and love, decided not to leave us to our own devices, but sent Jesus, his only Son, to live the life we could not live and take the punishment on the cross we so rightly deserve. And he rose from the grave to display that death has no power over him and to all who put their trust in him. Our response to this good news, this gospel, is repentance and faith. Faith in Jesus, who gave his life for us. And repentance, a turning away from our sins to instead, although imperfectly on this earth, look to the one who will give us our greatest joy in Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, something that you can simply explain to a child, but also talk about deeply and richly with adults who want to know more about the gospel and go further into it, all about it. To make disciples, one must share about Jesus to those who have never heard and to those who have heard. It is our mission and it's our call, whether we are pastors, whether we are farmers, ranchers, managers, stay-at-home parents, and so on. Do not fear and have confidence in God and his power and his strength, for he will grow his church. and nothing will stand against it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together as people who are at various stages in life, those who have put their trust in you, their faith in you, and those who are still looking. God, we ask that through your incredible mercy, that you would reach down into our life, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and ignite a passion for us to share the gospel through both our actions and our words. We thank you that you are with us to the very end of the age. And we ask that you be given all of the glory through our words and our actions. In Jesus' name, amen.